Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday, December 12th, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where we open the show looking at a separation agreement in the news involving the Bridgeport Board of Education, the city, and school superintendent Dr. Carmela Levy-David. Only a Bridgeport blogger, Lenny Grimaldi, also elaborated further on big changes coming in the Bridgeport school system. And a Republican State House leader, Vin Candelora, dropped by to talk about this week's credit downgrade for Eversource issued by Standard & Poor's. So for the sixth time, in the past 10 years, the city of Bridgeport's going to be looking for a school superintendent. That, of course, with the vote last night to approve an agreement to sever the working relationship between Dr. Carmela Levy-David and the city of Bridgeport, the Board of Ed approving a separation agreement with the school superintendent. The vote last night, 6-4, 2 against. It's a negotiated agreement. They're not saying too much about the details. Probably a smart thing on both sides. So Carmela Levy-David is out. The acting super, Dr. Royce Avery, who was on the program earlier this week on the Melissa in the Morning program here on WICC, is the guy, is the big kahuna, is the chief for the time being. But there's a bigger issue here, I think. Now, again, there's two issues here. What caused the separation with Carmela Levy-David from the city of Bridgeport? We'll talk about that also a little later on with our buddy Lenny Grimaldi from onlyinbridgeport.com. But now Bridgeport is looking for the a school superintendent for the sixth time in the past 10 years. Two-pronged question here. What is behind, and especially I'd like to hear from you, if you're an educator, paraprofessional, teacher, retired, whatever, how is it in these school systems? Because we always hear from, the first thing we always hear is the money situation, right? Everybody wants more money. And they talk about maybe the money will fix it. And there's always the, somewhat, I don't want to say caustic, but challenged relationships between teachers and principals and paraprofessionals and whatever and the school superintendents. Is it really that bad? See, I know people who teach and really love it. I know people who substitute and their eyes roll back in their head, some of the stuff they see only because they're not there on an everyday basis. And I know some people who are teachers and paraprofessionals who have been doing it for years, like it, but can't wait to get out. Now, there's been an uptick in no confidence votes over the past couple of months. Fran Rabinowitz, who previously served as the super in Bridgeport and Hamden, now is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. She's been on Melissa's show numerous times. She has an interesting quote here in the Connecticut Mirror. She said, quote, "I think it's become more common nationally to have votes of no confidence." She said, quote, "There's a lot of emotional unrest right now. I see opposing views." Now, listen to this. I find this very interesting. This quote here from the former Bridgeport and Hamden school superintendent, Fran Rabinowitz. She said, "There's a lot of emotional unrest right now. I see opposing views and an inability many times to come to the middle, to come to a consensus, to really understand the other person's perspective moving forward with something." Think about that. So is this a scenario now of what is she referring to there? Are both sides dug in now? Is this a scenario of how we run our schools? Is that reflective of our politics? Again, this quote from Fran Rabinowitz a couple of days ago here this week, very telling, I think. She said again, quote, "I think it's become more common nationally to have votes of no confidence. There's a lot of emotional unrest right now. I see opposing views and an inability many times to come to the middle, to come to a consensus, to really understand the other person's perspective moving forward with something." And she continues, "And I think it affects all of our relationships. You just see it nationally. You see it in government. And now we're seeing it in education." Interesting. Is she saying here, and I'm not trying to put words in her mouth, I'm not, but this last sentence or sentences, in this paragraph are interesting. And I think it affects all of our relationships. You just see it nationally. You just see it in government. And I think now we're seeing it in education. So is everything political now? Is it A versus B? Is it the unions always versus the superintendents and the municipalities? What is this? Educators have consistently referred to public education as reaching a breaking point with an increasing frustration in classroom conditions centered on issues like safety, workload, class size, limited support personnel, and curriculum changes. Well, who fixes that? How do we fix that? And what role do the parents have here? I can't tell you the number of times I hear from friends and relatives of mine who are teachers, who were teachers, who retired, and I can't tell you the number of times, and you've probably seen and heard it too, right? From your kids, maybe, or we're, you know, talking about their friends or your sons or daughters or grandsons or granddaughters, you know, in the schools, talking about a lack of parental involvement by some kids. And also, you constantly have this, and we saw this played out again in Bridgeport, at least to some degree where you could soak it in through the media and kind of understand what was going on. You know, this adversarial relationship between the union teachers and the school superintendent. And that's, again, more and more and more. So is this just a case of, whether it's here in Bridgeport or other places where we've had these no-confidence votes, is this just the usual union versus employer thinking? And frankly, are there times, and I'm just kind of throwing this out there, are there times where it's the kind of thing where, you know, like in other labor situations, well, we're the workers and you can't tell us what to do? Like, I had a laugh at what happened a few months ago with the fact that what happened in Bridgeport? They didn't want the teachers to wear jeans. Did I read that right? And the union went nuts. Who cares? Don't wear jeans. Look presentable when you teach. But again, that became a big hullabaloo. I mean, is this just nitpicking, or are there real problems here between unionized teachers and their boss? And for that matter, do teachers' unions ever get along with their superintendents or their cities or towns? And as you've been hearing all day right here on WICC, on the newscast and on the shows, Bridgeport will now go through a process of naming a permanent replacement for Dr. Carmela Levy-David, who is now separating her employment from the city. The Board of Ed last night okaying a separation agreement with Carmela Levy-David. The final vote there was 6-2. It was a negotiated agreement. They're not being specific about it. There are rumors of what's in it, rumors of allegations on both sides. Here's the bottom line. Bridgeport needs another schools boss. Now, again, Dr. Royce Avery is there now. Who knows what the future is with him? One would think he has a, you know, leg up on the deal. You would think he came here with Carmela Levy-David. But again, this is part of a larger issue, is it not? And years ago, you had some disagreements. There were strikes. Remember, there were teacher strikes until those strikes were outlawed. I think in Connecticut, teachers cannot strike, but binding arbitration is mandatory. My late uncle participated in a teacher strike once when he was teaching at Wilbercross. He was one of the teachers, quote-unquote, arrested here. But why all the acrimony between teachers' unions, unionized teachers, mainly the Connecticut Education Association and AFT Connecticut, the American Federation of Teachers, Connecticut chapter, which is, I think, far smaller and a bit less influential in the state? What is that? And is this just a case of it? I'm just going to throw this out there, because if you read between the lines, whether it's from people like Fran Rabinowitz, who's on the radio station here a lot, especially with Melissa in the morning, or other officials around the state, other teachers' union heads for different cities and towns, you hear them say, well, we have to, you know, continue to work together. Both sides have to hear each other. What does that mean? No, because when I read something like that and I hear something like that, is that just the, and I'm just throwing this out there, because this is what it sounds like to me when I read it and hear it. Is this just a case, and maybe with good reason, are the unions, the teachers' unions, trying to flex their muscle a little more? Maybe this isn't back in the day when the school superintendent or schools superintendents and boards of education around the state basically set the policy and they told the teachers' unions there to sit down, shut up, mind your business, and go teach. Now, again, there's a fascinating story here in the Connecticut Mirror from a few days ago. More teachers issuing votes of no confidence in the superintendents. Why is that? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. They're talking about safety in the schools. Is that school safety? Well, you know, they don't take us seriously about school safety. And, you know, with all the arrests in the school and the teachers don't feel safe. Now, okay, I don't mean to sound cavalier on this, but school safety, half of the politicos in this state don't want cops in the schools. So what are you supposed to do about school safety? No, honestly. So apparently there's a breakdown here in some school districts about what the teachers' unions want, probably rightfully so, not to be, you know, beat up in class or sworn at or spit at or whatever. So there seems to be this developing rift between the teachers' unions in the state and the individual cities and towns, the municipalities, the mayor's offices, the boards of education, the town manager's offices, the RTM, the boards of aldermen, and the unions. And is this happening because, yes, teachers' jobs are getting so much more difficult because of what they have to deal with? Again, in this story, this Jessica Harkey story in the Connecticut Mirror, you know, she points out things that, you know, were upsetting the, for example, the Waterbury Teachers Union about, you know, danger in that school, numerous arrests made there. You know, I had somebody tell me a couple of days ago that they know teachers in an urban area, and the teachers are frustrated because they're just told, graduate the kids, move them out, move them, keep the conga line going. And whose fault is that? And does this all still originate from what's going on at home? If there's no support at home, if there's no supportive, perhaps nuclear family at home, does that burden then fall on the teachers here? Is that why we're getting all these votes of no confidence? And then are the teachers' unions here taking it out, quote unquote, on some of these school superintendents? And is the answer money? And I know the operative thing is, well, we need more money, we need more resources, we need more class sizes. Haven't we been increasing education funding? Year after year after year after year after year for decades. Decades we've been doing this. And look at the test scores in New Haven, in Hartford, in Bridgeport. Oftentimes they're awful. Do you blame the teachers for being frustrated? I don't know, man. God bless you people who want to teach. I'm dead serious about it. Because between what you face every day, and I'm sure the vast majority of the kids are fine, but it only takes one or two in a classroom. And maybe that's the point that you're trying to raise here with the school superintendents and the teachers' unions. Are you a teacher? Are you frustrated by this? Are you surprised or not as to what happened in Bridgeport? But our regular Thursday chat here with Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny, good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
Uncle Paulie, what's cooking, baby?
What is it with school superintendents, Lenny, and Bridgeport? What's going on here? Explain the dynamic here. Other than the fact that you had mentioned earlier that Dr. Levy David had moved out of the district, but I kind of posed this earlier. Was it a complete mystery what she was going to try and do here? I mean, did they not know about her style coming in here, Lenny? Was there kind of a wink and a nod saying, well, you go ahead and try this and see how it works? Because I'm kind of stumped here.
Well, some yes and some no.
Yeah.
Well, there was not a unanimous decision to bring her on. there are other people in play.
Yeah.
But you know, you make an interesting point. Let's see. For the last 12 years, between actors and permanent superintendent of schools,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about 8 or 9 or 10
yeah.
in the last dozen years.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is the makeup of the Board of Education. There's been some dissension between the board members. It's not always a happy gathering. It's like, you know, it's like they meet on Mondays, right? It's like the Monday night fight. Go to Harding High School on a Monday night and watch the fights. And
yeah.
I think it's gotten a little bit better. I think the current board, I do think, you know, with Royce Avery,
mm-hmm.
all the board members seem to like him. And I think that's a good thing.
Okay.
He's thoughtful. He communicates. Carmela Levy David, she came in. And some board members wanted her and some did not.
Yeah.
And from the board members' perspective, they felt she was not a good communicator, did things unilaterally without the board permission. And they feel like, you know, what happened was, and there was a lot of controversy. The unions didn't like her. Classroom teachers didn't like her. They had public demonstrations against her.
Yeah.
She was only on the job for 14 months. So they made a decision, you know, several weeks ago, here's the deal. We want you to leave. We're going to pay you for the rest of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to resign.
Yeah.
And if you don't resign, we're just going to fire you because there were violations of the contract that she signed. So her base pay was $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
But the contract called for her to live in the district in Bridgeport, and she moved out, and there were other issues that they had with the contract. So, you know, in the end, I don't know exactly what the payout is, the severance mm-hmm. package. They did vote last night 6-2.
Yeah.
Who agreed to the severance package. And initially it was, okay, you resign, we'll pay you through the end of the year. I think that's probably what it is. Maybe there's a
sure.
couple of more nuggets we don't know. I mean, she has a terrific lawyer, Tom Busey.
Yeah, you mentioned.
One of the best labor lawyers on the planet,
yeah.
right? So maybe he was able to get her a few more things for her. But Busey's he's going to tell her, you know, straight out, you know, this is what you're facing. So, you know, maybe take the deal and move on. I think that's probably what happened. Either way, she's gone. And so now you've got Royce Avery. He's in
yeah.
an acting position. I dare say probably within a couple of weeks. They will authorize another national search. That's probably going to take a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, 10 months to a year, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I have to say that Royce Avery probably, you know, he's the odds-on favorite to stay on.
Sure.
It's a guess at this point. You
yeah.
don't know. He has his own style. He's super smart and mm-hmm. low-key. She's more, you know, she's a bigger personality than Royce Avery. And,
yeah.
and the board members right now, a lot of the board members who don't get along, like him, right? And that does tell me something.
Yeah.
And so, and we have a new the Board of Education as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, but Lenny, my guess here was, you may have heard me say it earlier, I'm just wondering, was this a case of, and with no ill will toward Dr. Levy David, she's been on this radio station a number of times, I met her a couple of times, had a nice chat with her, but could this, Lenny, have been a scenario of she telling whomever hired her, listen, this is what I'm going to try to do, and them saying, okay, try it, and then you get the blowback of, well, who the hell are you, lady? I mean, you're coming in here from Texas. This is not how we do it here. Any of that possible or not? Because I find it kind of weird after a year and change, or maybe I'm just naive here. I don't know.
No, I think there's a lot of that. So within 3 or 4 months, there were issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the minority, so there was a vocal minority against her. Bridgeport's Board of Education, it's a 9-member board.
Yeah.
And so there was a vocal 4-member against her.
Yeah.
Who was pushing back, saying, you know, she doesn't know how to conduct a meeting. She's making unilateral decisions. She's not communicating with us. The teachers don't like her. And the teachers did not. I mean, when you have, I'm trying to figure out the last time I heard of the BEA and all like 600 members together saying it's chaos.
Yeah.
And the classroom is not a place that we feel happy in because of the decisions she's making. I think part of it was like the schools she wanted to close. And I think on one level, you could say, listen, you have old buildings, you know, they're antiquated.
Yeah.
And she wanted to close and consolidate them. I feel like, I mean, they were telling me the way she rolled it out, it did not communicate to the public.
Okay.
And so now they make a change. Grace Avery is there. He's going to have his first community meeting, I think, next week to kind of introduce himself. He's a very different personality.
Oh, you can hear it. Yeah. He's been on the station here. I've heard it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
but I think it's unfortunate. You know, when you have someone who comes in and says, you know, I'm going to be on a job for 10 years and she's gone in 15 months, and you've had since going back probably the last 12, 13 years, you've had like 7 or 8 or 9 school chiefs, either an acting level or a permanent level, and the permanent level has been short-lived, you know, on several occasions. So, you know, you'd like to have some stability in your school system.
And, and Lenny, if somebody, you know, people who are going to want to apply for this, right, they're going to see the history here, right? And they'll have people and they'll have consultants, Lenny, and you and I know, they're going to say, oh, geez, I know the money will probably be good, but think twice before you take the Bridgeport gig, right? You know that's got to happen.
Well, because you're going to have to navigate the gauntlet of the school board.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're getting into so now we're in mid-December.
Yeah.
It's off cycle. There's no mayoral cycle in Bridgeport last year. Thank God we all survived the craziness of the 2023 mayoral election.
Yeah.
So it's off cycle, but you have a school board election.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're going to have several school board members up for re-election. And so it's going to be 2025 is a school board city council election year.
Yeah.
But I think the school board is going to get a lot of attention.
Sure.
And, you know, it could be that a new school board would be in place.
Oh, that's interesting.
By the time they'll have to come in soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. Lenny, thanks. Only in Bridgeport.com is the blog. Check it out. The latest on Carmela Levy-David there. Also, an article on M&T Bank announcing winners of a cultural small business lab. Lenny, thanks. Be good. Have a good weekend. We'll chat next week, my friend. Good insight. Thank you. Appreciate
next
it. All right. Bye-bye. Lenny Grimaldi here on WICC. All right. Let's talk about utility rates once again. Gee, there's a shock, huh? The folks at Eversource are saying, well, wait a minute now. We may have to raise fees again because of a lower credit rating. Now, how is that affecting you? What does that mean with the credit rating firms and not having a good relationship with Eversource and the utility regulators here in Connecticut? Vin Candelora joins us, State House Minority Leader, to break this all down. Hey, Vin, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, Vin. So lay this out for my listeners. So Eversource has had their credit rating or their viability for credit, what, lowered here by Standard & Poor's? And how might that end up hurting consumers here? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what's happening, and it's not just Eversource, it's our other utility companies as well. I know our gas industry got whacked. What it does is it basically is saying that these companies are sort of less economically viable. And so, you know, loaner beware. So what ends up happening essentially is it's going to cost more money for them to borrow. It's kind of like, you know, loaning money to somebody that's got good credit versus loaning to somebody that has bad credit. If you have bad credit, you're going to pay a higher interest rate. Mm.
So
that's what's happening with all our utility companies.
Yeah, so but then Eversource is saying, well, not our fault, right? Aren't they trying to say, well, it's the overly litigious, overly regulated industry in Connecticut? They're pointing to Pura and the regulators. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, well, I mean, Connecticut has been one of the most overly regulated states for utilities in the country. So that's nothing new. But what's been new is there's a level of arbitrariness that's coming out of that agency. They're denying cost recovery or delaying cost recovery for items that typically have been approved, some of which arguably are statutorily supposed to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen more and more litigation coming down the pike now from many different utility companies that are regulated by PURA. So that uncertain regulatory environment, the hostile environment, is what the agencies are pointing to as being a problem, which is unique. And it's something I've been concerned about. You know, PURA has been more politicized lately, and they don't act as the independent arbiter that they're supposed to be acting as. And so this uncertainty, they're not applying the letter of the law. The regulators the bond companies are starting to say, you know what, you might want to pull back. We're concerned about the viability of these companies long term. My concern is that if this continues, you're going to see companies like Eversource look to unload their Connecticut assets. Mm. We already saw this with them trying to sell off Aquarion, their water company. And I just think more and more companies, potentially, if they unload these utilities, we may get bought up by a bigger company, and then we're in worse shape because they're not going to have the market share that Eversource currently has, where Connecticut is 40% of their holdings.
Yeah.
They matter to us. And if some international company comes in and we're 5% of their holdings, they're just not going to care.
And it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing, right, Vin? Because the ratings houses, Standard & Poor's, are saying, well, we're lowering you. We're not going to raise you. We're kind of queasy about your cash on hand here, which would get you better terms on a loan or loans or financing if you had better cash on hand. But as you say, they claim they're stifled by what PURA does and doesn't do. So it's kind of this vortex. I can kind of see the company's point here is saying, hey, you know, we understand we need more cash, but we're kind of hamstrung here. Is that the essence of this?
That's exactly right. And I think that level of arbitrariness, I mean, it's one of the things, like, right now they're doing is there's a requirement that they install the virtual net meter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, it costs money to make those installations, so they know how much it's going to cost. They want a guarantee from PURA that if they're required to install all these meters, they're actually going to get reimbursed. Mm-hmm. PURA won't make that commitment to them. And that's where it's sort of bizarre. If you want them to install electric charging stations throughout the state, mm. How do you then say you can't get reimbursed for it? And that's sort of what's been going on. I think that's why finally the financial rating institutions are saying, you know what, this isn't good practice. We're not sure that we can continue to keep their high ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that really the governor – and the governor alone has to fix. These appointments on PURA haven't been made yet.
Yeah, there's two there's two open seats, right? Vin, there should be five people.
That's
there's
right.
Only three, right?
That's right. The law says shall. So there should be five people serving. There's only three. Of those three, none of them have gone through the appointment process in years. And they're working off of expired terms.
Mm.
Well, if somebody's working off of an expired term, they serve at the pleasure of the appointer, which is the governor.
Yeah.
It's not how it should be. So they're at the governor's beck and call. Deals are made in back rooms in the governor's office. And I think that's sort of why everything has gotten to be so politicized and dysfunctional.
And finally, Vin, do we know anything more on this stall deal, this wind power deal that we're supposed to get into with Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and the governor coming out a few weeks back and saying, well, I want to put a kibosh on this, at least for now, and what? He was trying to get some, I guess, Massachusetts to buy more stuff from Millstone. You folks up there have any idea what's going on, or is it still radio silence on this?
No, radio silence is sort of stalled out, and I think, again, that was a political decision, not a good policy one. They made the decision to go forward with the wind project. The governor just pulled out at the 11th hour, even though there was a multi-state compact to do it. Haven't gotten any updates yet on where that's going. And so I think there's a lot of big decisions that need to be made over the horizon.
Mm.
And I certainly think, though, in the short term, we've got to fix this relationship between our utility companies and PURA, because it's really driving our companies into the ground.
Vin Cantalora, Vin, State House Republican leader. Vin, thank you as always. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vin. So there you have it, folks.